What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The NCAA tournament does get going tonight. It's first four action, but it's basketball. It's for the tourney. 16 seeds will kick it off at 5:40 on True TV. St. Francis out of Pennsylvania.
And a big St. Francis guy.
Are you? And which St. Francis? The Pennsylvania one or other ones?
Pennsylvania.
New York? Just more than the New York one.
Yeah, screw New York.
Sure. Alabama State, that's at 5:40. Alabama State, 3.5-point favorite. They're in the South region, if you were wondering. And then the game that I think a lot of people are excited for, 11-seed play-in game. North Carolina, all the controversy there, take on 11-seed San Diego State out of the Mountain West. 8:10 scheduled tip-off, also on True TV. That's part of the South region as well. And then tomorrow, we'll have two more first four games, 16-seed Mount St. Mary's against American, and then Xavier, Texas.
Next up on What's Trending, Jameis Winston is officially going to visit the New York Giants today as they continue to wait whatever beach journey Aaron Rodgers is on. I honestly think the perfect scenario for them is vet quarterback who starts the year as a starter, or is it a straight-up competition with Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, one of those two starting quarterbacks, then let the vet handle it for half a season if you need to. Things go poorly, you hand things off to the rookie. No big deal, no harm. That feels like the safest bet for them. Jameis would be a perfectly fine option inside of that category.
Next, about Major League Baseball. Did you guys know the season actually started today? I honestly didn't until late last night. It opened in Tokyo. Great scene out there, but it was at 5 a.m., 3 a.m. Pacific time. Dodgers got the win against the Cubs, if you were wondering. 4-1. They're on their way to 162-0 season.
Probably. They're the single best team in all of Major League Baseball again. And once again, are probably the favorite and should be to win the World Series. Yeah, Goldie, I've already said it. We hope they just win yeah. every year until baseball's like, this is untenable. The Dodgers are ruining the sport, and then force like collective bargaining in a sense that like everyone's under the same TV package or some nonsense that at least evens the playing field. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals announced today that they will go, we've already known they're going to go powder blue jerseys this year as their primary. That was great news as it was. But that's powder blue top, white pants. No. Royals will wear full powder blue jerseys, top and bottom, retro hat to match.
Love that.
Every Saturday, home game at the K. Oh, it's such a good look.
It is.
I was so mad when the Blue Jays went full powder blue. I'm like, how are you letting them do this? Yours is even better than theirs. So full powder blue uniform.
On Saturdays.
Every Saturday home game. So that'll include, obviously, the second game of the season for the Royals.
Yeah, the batting helmets look really nice. The batting helmet, like, give me one of those
pretty signs.
Give me one of those batting helmet sign. And
by Vinny? Let's try to get one for the garage sale.
We can work on something, hopefully, for the garage sale. Elsewhere on What's Trending, we mentioned this during, actually, the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Brandon Graham, longtime Philadelphia Eagle, announced his retirement today after 15 seasons, couple rings in the league. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. A reminder coming up at 1 o'clock, Nate Taylor, Chiefs insider from The Athletic, will join us in studio. We'll talk all things Chiefs. What other moves are on the way, if any? Are they done till the draft? What else could happen? And just where things stand after some of the veterans they brought back, Juju and Kareem Hunt. What's the draft plan look like? Has it changed at all? Nate Taylor will, of course, give us what he has heard and some of the insight in just a bit. But let's talk some baseball. You mentioned it there. Dodgers opening day today, technically. Royals opening day a week from Thursday. Vern's got the round table at a Hollywood casino a week from this Friday. He'll be talking to Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell. We'll all be out at Hollywood Casino next Friday starting at 6 o'clock. Someone that I think people are excited to see in the leadoff role is the biggest acquisition of the offseason, Jonathan India. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago. What are you expecting out of him? Because I actually don't think the bar is like crazy high, but also you have a legit leadoff hitter now. And that was why you made the move and we're willing to part ways with a really good pitcher in Brady Singer. This is a guy that's going to give you hopefully 150 plus games as your leadoff hitter. He's going to give you solid at-bats. From an actual statistical standpoint, I think he's a 265 hitter. He's never been above 270, by the way, if you're thinking, wow, that's not a high bar.
269 was his best the year he won Rookie of the Year.
So he's never been better than that. He's never been a 270 hitter. I'm in the 260, 265 range, 10 to 15 stolen bases. Basically, what his stat line has been his career, right? Like, back of the baseball card stuff. Maybe the stolen bases are up, but I looked it up earlier. He's never had more than 14 stolen bases. And there's an argument that, hey, you want him to get on base, and then you don't want to get outs on the base pass when you got Bobby and Vinny and Salvi behind you. But get on base. We know he was top 10 in walks in baseball last year. That's what you're asking for him. I think it's just a pretty standard, give me what your baseball card says you are kind of year for Jonathan India.
I'm trying to think about it from the perspective of where I think he values, because like, he's obviously an important player. They did not have a professional, a major league on base leadoff guy all of last year. Man, they tried. Oh, they tried over
rotated
and
five
over
different players
and over. Dude, in the playoffs, their four hitter was a free agent 40-year-old. Like, they just didn't have a qualified lineup. What I want out of Jonathan India, even more than the statistics, is let him be able to be 1 through 6 deep. Last year, they barely got through 4. And really, it wasn't 1 through 4. It was like 2 through 4. You felt pretty good. 2 through 5 when Vinny was healthy, right? And then after that, 6 through 9, you're like, screwed. The leadoff spot, that ain't good enough. They tried Mikel Garcia, who wasn't even, like, they're not even sure it's him as a starter this year. And he was their leadoff hitter for a chunk of the season. Massey, when he was healthy, worked for a little bit, but then it was like, is this his natural spot based on base or this other stuff? Like, it wasn't all a good fit. And so, like, for him, it's like, they need so much just to be like a professional lineup, and it feels like he kind of sets the tone for that. As most important players go for the Royals, where is India Ooh. In that chain?
Yeah, he's so obviously like, after.
Number one is Bobby Witt Jr. Cool. Yeah. Reagan's is number two, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anybody would argue those 1-2 starting pitching matters a lot. He's in the top 10, but he's on the back end of that. So they don't need him to be a hero, I guess, is the point. Starting pitching is always going to matter. Lugo and Reagan's are more important. Bobby's more important. I think Vinny's more important for this year, and so is Salvi.
There's five right there.
So there's five. So maybe he's like, he's in that
probably
6 to 10.
He's probably the 7th most important player. You can make a case. Some people might push him down because they mentioned a couple bullpen arms first, Estevez or something like that.
So he doesn't have to be a hero. It's a really important thing for him. He just has to be exactly what you said, the back of his baseball card. Can you get on base? Can you get on base at a 340 clip? He walked the 5th most in baseball last year. Just keep doing that, and the other guys behind you will put you in for runs. We'll get you home if you can just get on base.
Yeah, someone was asking on the text line what I thought about, like, Jonathan India to lead the league in runs scored at 200-1 is a good value. If you're wondering, last year, most runs scored was not anywhere near, I don't think, where he was at. He's got that number for, Shohei Ohtani put up 134. I believe Jonathan India is like putting up 90 to 96. I mean, you're asking him.
His problem is that his homers are between 15 and 20, so he can only score himself about that many.
You know, Jonathan India has never hit more than 14 home runs or 12 home runs, something like that. Yeah, he's. I believe that.
I thought he was like in the 15 range, but I could be off. I don't remember.
We pulled it up earlier. I don't have the tab up anymore.
14.
I think he's
that was stolen bases numbers you were talking about.
Yeah, there. Okay, that's not right. I'm getting the two numbers.
I think
confused.
He's been closer to like the 20 range in home runs.
He's probably like a 10 to 12 home run guy though this year. I honestly believe that. Well, yeah, you can
look it up. Stadium's not going to help. He obviously can't be a double guy.
What did he do last year? Home run number
wise. In a home run friendly park, 15. He hit 21 in his best year. He had 21, 10, 17, 15.
So 15 homers, let's call it.
15 is probably the range.
But most runs scored, I don't if you're asking, do I like that bet? Not really. I mean, Shohei Ohtani's still playing, and he had 50 more runs scored, I think, than India did. So to lead the league in runs,
well,
what did I say the number was? 134 compared to, and then what was Jonathan India's run scored? You had the tab open on Baseball Reference.
I think I still have it.
I think he's going to be in like 90 to 98 runs scored this year.
He scored 84. He'll score more this year. 100.
Yeah.
Actually, your better bet's Bobby Wood Jr. He scored 125 runs. Yeah, he was only 9 shy of Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
And now he's got more lineup protection behind him. So, like,
yeah,
you're looking
for the number is for that. But yes.
I'm just saying, like, from a.
8% in theory, the guys behind him will get home more often and all that.
300 RBI guys essentially behind him. If you're guessing it on last year's stats and he gets on base, there are definitely more runs coming. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the 100 range. Look, as a long shot bet, is it the worst bet of all time? No. 100 runs scored would put him in the top 12 in all of Major League Baseball. The problem is that Shohei Ohtani exists.
134 last year, man.
If it's lead the American League, I think you got an argument.
That's different, yeah.
Because then Shohei and Juan Soto are both behind him. Those guys are in the National League. You don't care.
Look, if
Aaron
Jonathan
Judge has no
India,
lineup protection, cool. Like, you can start eliminating some people.
If Jonathan India is leading the league, or all the majors.
Then they've won the AL Central.
Yeah. Oh, things are going great.
They're having a great year.
Bobby's having a huge year. Everything is good. If all of a sudden your leadoff hitter is in that position, yes, things are going very, very well for your offense.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would take like a 90-win year for the Royals. and still just some like crazy offensive numbers. And for India himself to return to what he was his rookie year. His best year in the bigs was when he was a rookie. He has been playing on some uninteresting Reds teams. This is the best team he's played on probably since his rookie year. That Reds team went to the playoffs. There was a battle there.
De La Cruz, of course, is an incredible player that he played right there with. Yeah,
and yet somehow he's playing with a better player even now.
Yeah.
So, like, he had some protection in the lineup, obviously, because Ellie De La Cruz is a star. But not, like, I don't think to the level just as long as everyone stays healthy as they have now. Like, I think there'll be more available to him in India. That's why I asked, like, where does he rank amongst the most important Royals player? Because I don't want him to feel the pressure of like, well, fix our offense from last year. And they weren't a bad offense last year. They were a mediocre offense last year. And I'd like them to threaten with like,
it'd be pretty funny
being
if
one of the top half offenses in the American League to go with their pitching.
It'd be pretty funny if his first at bat is actually a walk on opening day. Cause actually as much as you want to hit, it's just, that would be the exact reason you brought him in immediately. If you took a leadoff walk to open up against the Guardians, leadoff walk.
Oh boy.
Mock draft sounder. Anytime we hear that, Drew has found us another mock draft. Where's this one at?
This one is from the 33rd team.
Okay.
Kyle Krabs. Not to be mistaken with former college quarterback.
I don't think he was a former college quarterback, despite when you Google his name, it pulls up a photo of a UCLA quarterback.
Kyle Krabs is a very memorable name. I don't think you should have gone with that hard K sound. To the first name when your last name's Krabs.
Kyle Krabs.
I think you should have softened that first one, you know? Kyle Krabs, it's too much.
That's aggressive.
I don't know anything about Kyle Krabs. I've never heard a single mock of his. Does his wife sell anything on Etsy? Do we have any background
Chris
on Kyle Krabs?
Or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to figure out what Kyle Krabs' personal life
is. It
is like.
Not Chris Trapasso by any means. No, this is the 33rd team.
He's actually not with the 33rd team anymore.
Oh. Wait, what?
His last tweet. I'm not even kidding. His last tweet from Kyle Krabs. I've been informed that after the draft in April, my contract will end. He's employed until after. It says, I've been informed that after the draft in April, my contract with the 33rd team will not be renewed.
Yesterday.
Kyle Krabs.
February 23rd, I think.
Okay.
But basically, so he's still employed, but he knows that he's done in 2 months. Anyway.
I promised to fire off mock drafts for a company that's not even going to pay him.
He's under contract.
The mock draft came out yesterday, I promise. Okay. It did not come out in February. All right. But with the 31st pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Chiefs select, according to Kyle Krabs, Tyleek Williams, interior defensive lineman. Cody, guess where he played at?
Georgia.
That's a good guess, but it was Ohio State.
I told you, the Chiefs, historically, under Andy Reid and Brett Veach, do not draft Ohio State players.
This is interesting.
It's time to break the trend, dude.
I agree.
So he dives into the Tillery bag in his description. Kyle Krabs does.
Okay.
Kansas City lost Turk Wharton in free agency and is still thin here despite the addition of Jerry Tillery. Given the improving offensive lines across the AFC West, the Chiefs would be wise not to skimp at defensive tackle. Williams is an excellent run defender who could prospect next to Chris Jones.
Everyone thinks every defensive lineman will work if they just get to work next to Chris Jones.
It makes sense.
It is not the worst strategy.
Do you like the comp? I've never heard of this player that he's comped.
I hate comps in which it's just like a player we don't even know.
NFL Network's Lance Erline. Comp, Alan McNeil.
Okay.
Who?
I don't know who that
is. That could be Lance Erline. What is his problem? Is he trying to prove he knows more about different football players more than any other planet? He comped a guy that had like 8 career NFL snaps a couple of weeks ago to a wide receiver.
This is a player legitimately I've never heard of. He is in the league still. He's 24 years old. He's 350 pounds and he plays for the Detroit Lions. But I'll be honest, I've never heard. Some of the draft nerds probably have, but I've never heard
of
him.
What's his name?
Alum.
As an alum.
Alum McNeil. That's the comp.
That actually does sound girthy, like lower bear or something.
Girthy lower body.
No. He was one of the Detroit Lions who got hurt last year. Okay. He was one of the many defensive linemen for the Detroit Lions who got hurt
last
year.
I'm going to have to say it again, Drew, because I couldn't finish the sentence. Here's the pro and strength for him. It says he is a girthy lower body with big, meaty hands.
Oh, my.
Reading the draft. This is from NFL Network. Not my words.
From Lance.
Explosive and violent.
From our guy Lance.
Yep. I don't think you
shorter
can.
Arms allow Lancer blockers line. To crowd his frame. Hit or miss holding his ground against double teams.
We don't need to describe. There's nothing. This is like the Aikman audio that you guys played the one time earlier in the season.
What? We're just describing.
Taken out of context.
Can we get Kyle Krabs on to talk NFL draft, and then we can try to like get him a job? Let's have about Kyle Krabs. I feel bad
for
him.
He
can just come on once a week and talk draft, and then we'll just be like,
"Your contract's not renewed."
Kyle Krabs is available if anyone is looking for. No, I'm trying to help him. This is not like an insult. I want the guy to get a job.
Okay,
I like his choice of Alan McNeil comparisons. I like it. Interior defensive line.
He didn't comp him.
Oh,
he didn't comp him.
But I like the player.
Yeah, we'll ask him if he agrees with Lance Erline if this player Tyleek Williams has girthy lower body with big meaty hands.
So this is not only a one round.
Can we start with some of these comps playing like the old "What's Your Fantasy" music underneath it? Because if you said that sentence,
I'm just reading it, man. You know
that's what he chose.
I don't know why you have to make it so weird. You know, I'm just reading it.
That could be the title. That could be the cover page description of a romance novel based on.
Someone says, are they marketing this guy as an adult film star or an NFL prospect? I don't know. That's the first time I've seen that verbage used in one sentence together.
I might have something creative coming up my sleeve
for an NFL draft prospect. What's that?
I might have something creative coming back from break for you guys.
Thank you for that.
Considering we might as well go all the way now. This is not a one-round mock. This is a
round. Oh, I apologize. Who they got in the second?
So, in the second round, this is an interesting pick because the player is extremely talented, but it's a guy that they already may have filled a hole for. Xavier Watt, safety from Notre Dame.
They luck drafting safeties in the second round. They take a lot of second and third round safeties.
He's a very good
second round though. This year, you think?
His range is interesting. He's gone like early second,
Notre Dame guy,
to late second, maybe into the early third. He's had a bit of a range, but playmaker, ball hawking safety. The dude just makes plays.
Kyle Hamilton look. Maybe they can just turn. Maybe they got safeties over.
He made plays all throughout the college football playoff. Not for them. So
okay. It's not
being an interesting pickup at a position that maybe isn't a quote unquote need, but it's one of those guys. Maybe you just take best available if the guy who you had on your board that you like at a spot wasn't there.
I think it's kind of like the way of cheating on corner a little bit. Maybe Connor can play more corner and less safety or less, you know, like maybe there's a little movement there.
Yeah, his comp.
Not anti.
His comp, Malik Hooker.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't work out too well.
It's a theme here. Okay.
No, that's just the comp.
He's a fine player.
Yeah, Malik Hooker's okay.
Would you rather have someone that's similar to Malik Hooker or someone that is lower body's girthy and meaty hands?
That one. I want the meaty hands.
It depends on what you need, I guess.
All right, who is the third round pick?
So two third round picks for the Chiefs, of course, at 66. Pick two in the third round is Marcus Embo, interior offensive lineman from Purdue. This is a spot that makes sense given what we've discussed before.
Totally.
Guard, guy that can potentially compete with Kingsley for that left guard spot. Third round pick, you're not taking too much risk.
No way to complain about that at all.
Yeah,
got
yeah.
it. And now running back one. Probably with 95?
No.
Wide receiver?
Harold Fannin Jr.
Oh, tight end.
Tight end out of Bowling Green. The dude is...
Same prospects, right? A receiver.
Potentially big time, yeah.
I think this is the guy Bink likes.
Bink likes him a lot, yes.
Which tomorrow, who knows, we might have Bink on because
Bink
I believe
he's
Bink
down.
Character
yes,
concerns. Kristen Ocero and Bink have their new mock draft out as well on the Character Concerns podcast. So I think we're going to have Bink call in tomorrow.
Who is Harold Fannin's comp? I'm sure they got a comp for him because he's been a popular enough pick. I'm sure that they've got...
He's going to say... Hold on, I want to guess all first. Right. He's going to say Evan Ingram.
Ooh, just because
that actually might be.
Here we go. It's going to take us. Their site's a little slow today. We'll get you. I'll get you the comp.
That actually might be a good comp.
Not bad. Not bad.
Good guess.
Here we go. The comp is Juwan Johnson, the Carolina Panthers tight end.
That actually is a.
Okay.
I don't know if you, I think you would take him if you're the Chiefs because he was very good for the, like last year, I think there were games where he had like 8 or 9 catches.
Do you remember I was somewhat interested in Juwan Johnson at tight end for the Chiefs?
They said Harold Fannin Jr. tight throughout his lower body is a weakness.
Too tight?
Too tight. Oh, not too good. Tight. Not good. That's not a good thing. You don't want to be
not
tight.
Not like he's tight.
You don't want to be tight throughout your lower body. That's not good. You need to be loose.
In some ways, but not that. Got it. I said I was making it sound like
this is fucking weird. Segment,
I did not make it that. I was saying. Tight is in like, you know, the way people used to use the term.
Yep, I got you.
Like, this is tight.
Since you're blaming the segment on gold for stretching it too
far. Not just specifically that part.
I'm trying to bring the comps to the people. These are names that a lot of listeners haven't heard of. We're trying to learn about these players.
No running back.
Their strengths, their cons, their weaknesses.
I want a running back in the top 3 rounds. I understand that there are starting running backs in the 5th or 6th round of this draft. but I want one of the better ones. Like, if you can get essentially a second round talent in the third round at running back, I want it early.
And I wonder, maybe we should get Kyle on to say, hey, how come you didn't have him taken a running back? Maybe he says, well, they just signed Kareem Hunt, and I don't know what they're going to do at running back. That's what we've talked
about.
Maybe
Kyle Krabs thinks there's a lot of guys good in the fourth or fifth, you know? And he doesn't want to risk the, I mean, by the time they get to the third, because reportedly
they have
they're
to take
like,
them in a four, because they don't have a fifth or a sixth.
Right. Reportedly, they're like 8 to 10 running backs who are like top three round running backs.
Yes.
Teams are going to run it's out. Deep. Like, it's not, by the time you get to even the end of the third, all those guys aren't going to be gone. Everybody will have already filled their running back need or have their running back needs already met.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're not going to be like in the market for yet another one just because they're good. They're going to address some other needs.
So you're saying you could steal one maybe in the fourth round.
You might be able to, but I don't want to go any later than that. Like, that's the drop dead point for me. I don't want to, like, and not that Pacheco hasn't had some success. It's just
waiting till the seventh round is.
Yeah, it's just not like a regularly successful model unless you run like the offensive running scheme of a team like Kyle Shanahan, in which case it doesn't really matter where you took the person, if they're undrafted, if they're it doesn't really matter. They'll have some amount of success. The Chiefs require a certain amount of talent in order for their run game to be successful. You can't just be like any dude off the street and run and make it work.
Yeah, it is a girthy lower body with big, meaty hands. Thanks, Drew. Thank you.
That is quite. You know what? Sounds like a good player to draft in the first round.
Definitely. I'm sold now. Yeah. Just
I
totally
wasn't
sold.
Until Zuerlein described it.
Then yeah. Once we found out the strengths.
I do want a defensive lineman probably in the first round. I would take a defensive lineman with one of my first three picks in every draft every year until I just like kept hitting. I would do it. And that's what the Eagles do. I would just never stop taking defensive linemen. You want just the easiest way to get successful is do that. Once you got quarterback, especially.
What, Drew? What's so funny?
Text line.
What?
Someone says Fannin is 6'4", 230. He's more of a tight end.
Pro Football Focus compares him to Jonnu Smith. That was the other comp.
For the 913, so we got a guy.
I wouldn't mind a Jonnu style tight end. That'd be fun.
For the 913, so we got a guy with a large, girthy lower body and a guy with a tight lower body. It's a match made in heaven.
Up next, we're going to get to Major League Baseball, which made another mistake with how they're starting their season. We'll also get a random question of the day. He is a girthy lower body with big, meaty hands.
Oh my.
Explosive and violent, tight throughout his lower body. You don't want to be tight throughout your lower body. That's not good. God. You need to be loose. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Lance Zuerlein.
Lance
Great
Zuerlein.
Great descriptions.
Providing us all the information we need to know about some of the draft prospects. What would we do without those?
Don't know.
Coming up in about 25 minutes, Nate Taylor from The Athletic going to join us. But I mentioned during What's Trending that the baseball season has already begun. And this is another example, I think, of baseball missing the mark. So for those that don't know, the Dodgers and Cubs are playing in Tokyo. They'll have another game tomorrow. They played a game at 5 a.m. this morning, our time, 3 a.m. out in L.A.
Technically, it's tomorrow. They played on Wednesday.
They played Tuesday night.
It is
now Wednesday at 2:30 in the morning in Tokyo. I understand growing the sport. I get it. The reception in Tokyo has been insane because of Shohei and multiple Japanese-born players that are in the Cubs and Dodgers organization and playing in the games. And they had 100-plus movie theaters sold out for the games. It's been a huge success there. I still think, for quote-unquote America's pastime, it is terrible to begin the season, because technically it began already, in Tokyo when the games are on 5. If it was Tokyo and the game was on at 2 this afternoon, I really wouldn't have as big of a problem with it. It is the fact that your product was not accessible to the majority of this country because it was at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I truly, until my fantasy baseball draft last night, I had zero clue that there was a game this morning. You said you knew. Drew said he didn't know. I bet you a majority of our listeners did not know there was a baseball game until they woke up this morning, maybe tried to turn on the local news on Fox 4 and was like, wait, whoa, there's a baseball game? Fox didn't even send their crew. Fox Sports, Jason Benetti, the broadcaster, they were remote. They weren't even in Tokyo.
I hate that.
This is a couple years now the baseball has done this. They play two games there, and then the regular season doesn't start for everybody else opening day till next Thursday. I just don't get it. To me, it's a big miss by Major League Baseball doing this in America. I understand that in Tokyo it's a hit, but The NFL doesn't have the first game of the year in Brazil. They wait till the Friday.
No, but they talked about having a Super Bowl overseas.
And it's in primetime. They've talked about it. They haven't done it yet. I do not like that discussion already. But at least the Brazil game on Friday night, it's not the first game, and it's on in prime time. It's on at 7 o'clock here in Kansas City.
That's really the key to probably all of it. They're trying to grow the audience, so it's going to be like a normal time. And look, it's easier, right? Because they went to Tokyo, the time difference makes it really difficult to choose a time that both works for the Tokyo audience and works so that someone in the U.S. market can watch it. Like 5 in the morning, I don't get up at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. I get up pretty early, but I don't get up at 5 a.m. I can still catch part of the game today. 3 a.m. for the Dodgers market, that's a real challenge. That adds a whole nother element. I would at least consider that. I don't think that this is way different, other than they're not as good at promoting it. I don't think this is way different than putting the second game of the NFL season in Brazil. Like, you're taking a premium game the first week of the NFL season, and you're sticking it in a completely different country, changing the way this all works.
But we all know
that's
happening. I truly don't think a majority of...
That's the mistake they made. They did a good job being like, Tokyo baseball, look how cool the visuals are. And it seems like you and others were confused about the fact that this was a regular season game that counted.
Right.
Not just the major league players were in Tokyo glad handed.
Yeah, like we know that Brazil game is a real regular season NFL game. It's also on during primetime. If the game was on during our show at noon today, even, I don't think I would have as big of a problem with this. Like, if you told me right now on TV we were watching the Dodgers play, the game just started, let's say, I think I would understand it more. That's where they messed up. I know it was in primetime in Tokyo, but make it make it an early afternoon game in Tokyo, I guess is what it would have to be, because it's the way the time zone works.
From a point from the 816, which I think is fair, does it matter for anybody but the fans of those two things? You and I both know baseball is regionalized. Baseball knows that. They're not even trying to hide from that. Yeah, I don't watch Cubs opening day, Angels opening day. I don't watch any other team's opening day but my own.
But you'll have other baseball games on maybe that day or whatever, right?
Sure, but like, I don't watch anybody, I don't like go out of my way to be like, I'm going to watch that opening day. And baseball, at least doing it in this way, is like, look, the baseball season is starting and we're making a spectacle. We put ourselves in Tokyo. That's, again,
but
goes back to the biggest mistake they made was
about
like
it. Yeah.
Primetime.
Yeah.
If you put it at night, under the lights, made a scene, then I think you're kind of accomplishing both of the things you and I are talking about, where you are making it a spectacle. But they don't... Opening day is about each individual team. They don't make, like, one game, the opening of the baseball season, a thing.
It's
like
opening day.
It's the collective.
And I get it.
And they've kind of robbed themselves there, right? Because technically, we're a game in.
Like, the texter saying that, like, there's so many games, big deal if I watch 161. I understand. It's not like I am upset that I didn't get to watch game one of 162 of Shohei Ohtani today. It's more that, to me, it's a terrible job by the sport. You are Major League Baseball, and you are starting your brand new season, and nobody, I won't say nobody, a majority of people didn't know what happened. That's all I'm saying.
I wonder what the difference is between, like, what percentage of, like, hardcore baseball fans, like the people they already have. And by the way, you're not doing this kind of event for the people you already have hooked. Everything people do from a ratings perspective, from an entertainment perspective, is not the people who already consume your product.
Right.
You're doing it for the people who bring in new. So I do get that. Because for the diehards, they probably did know. Everybody who I follow that's a diehard baseball fan was, talking about it last night or talking about, like, kind of a cool setup or cool.
But you didn't
event,
set your alarm for 5 a.m. to make sure you were up for it.
I saw a little bit of it this morning, but I didn't tune in for 9 innings either, right? I mean, I knew they won. I knew that's the case. But baseball also, I think it's always so stupid because for 20 years of my life, I've had it. Baseball's dying. It's not dying. That is just factually incorrect.
The demographics are getting older. They need to find a way to attract a younger audience.
They are, and they've had a little bit more success with that lately by shortening the way that the games work. And at some point, they'll continue to... They've tried to get more into the social media end and some of these other things.
I know you don't like playoff expansion, but that has been a good thing because more markets feel like their team is in it later on in the season.
Sure. And those are the things they're going to do in order to try to like grow the sport and continue to grow the sport. But it's not dying. It's just not growing the way football grows. And football has hit like a growth point where like they are like, well, we're tapped in the U.S. We got every single person in the entire United States hooked into football. How the hell do we get everybody else in the entire world the way soccer gets to be global? Or the way the NBA is way better at being global, even though they're... It's just funny. Like, for baseball, they got to make a decision. The NBA has made this decision, I think. The NBA understands they got a limited, local like as a national interest in what they're going to get. Their ratings are somewhat fixed in that department. They can grow a little bit as the population grows. They have continued to grow and try harder to grow internationally, more and more and more. Not trying to get more,
yeah.
Not trying to get more national audience. They're trying to get more and more and more and more international audience. Baseball could make a similar argument because you're going to be popular in all the sports. The baseball.
Well, they played the London. They played the London series last year or 2 years ago. I think they had the Yankees and Red Sox in London. Time zone's not as problematic there, and the travel's not as problematic there. But they were able to do that, you know, and that one, if I remember right, was on a Saturday at like noon, though. See, that's the difference.
Yeah.
It was Saturday at noon or 1 o'clock, and I get it. It's not a day plus 14 hours difference or whatever Tokyo is, you know, because it's Wednesday at 2:40 in the morning right now there, whereas in London, it's just, 6 o'clock at night or something. You
it's
know?
Easier with the time shift. And that's what we talk about, like when you just go south, right, instead of east or west. When you play the NFL game in Brazil, you don't really have to change anything.
Right.
About the timing of the game, for the people in Brazil. It's an hour or two, right? It's not some massive shift outside of it. But for their sake, the Pacific area, like Japan and Korea, where they played last year, and like they're just baseball hungry already. So like that's where your international audience is. You got to travel further to get it. Your international audience currently isn't in. Like you said, like it's not as regularly in London or some of these other countries. They've already adopted the sports are going to adopt. Look, it's not perfect. I'm not claiming it was like everyone was gung ho about it. I think it's funny. You're doing your baseball draft last night. And you're like, hey, wait, this guy I drafted plays tomorrow.
Yeah. I drafted Yamamoto, of the Dodgers.
Hey, gotta win.
And gotta win. Thank you. That was needed. Appreciate that. I didn't watch any of it. Yeah.
I wonder if so along the lines of that, of the game being spread international, like with soccer, the leagues are already big enough where they're at. They're doing it for their, I guess, their people. Like for Manchester United, it's not like anything in England is not going to change. Of course, you do Champions League and you might travel and stuff, but the timing isn't so much so where it is still a American product where you can have the games elsewhere, but put them at a time that while it is local for the people in Japan or Korea or wherever the case is, make it also viewable. Where it's not at 3 a.m. and you're going to lose a lot of your quote-unquote true American audience. At least, you know, find a way to make it manageable for people to stay up a little bit later at night and still be able to catch, even if it's five innings of the game, at least be able to catch five innings of the game instead of wake up and see either the last inning or just totally
like West Coast baseball. It's not like I always make it to the end of the game.
Totally.
P.m. first pitch.
Mm-hmm. And it's in Tokyo, it was a massive success.
Yeah, it was.
Massive.
I bet.
Based off of ticket sales and the movie theaters that are showing the game. We had a very similar conversation last year about this when it was in Korea. And a lot of it is just, poor marketing back in the States. And if it's the world tour and it's for the world, we're still talking about a regular season baseball game happening a week and a half before everybody else is playing. All right, let's get to it. The random question.
There it is. You jumped it. I could see him scramble and he went for the button.
I was going over here to put something together.
Spoiler, the one thing in radio, 2 seconds in radio feels like 10 seconds of silence.
In our head, it feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
It felt like 15 seconds passed while I was coming.
But it was probably like a second and a half. That's just like, when we're sitting here silent, we're like, oh my God, should we say words? For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, the random question of the day is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week and then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. The question I have for you today is, do you think they'll have a lot of interested parties in this package? It was announced that Taco Bell will be offering a wedding package in Las Vegas.
All right.
For $777. So 777, right?
Get it.
Right there. Yep. Here are the things you need to know before you book.
All right.
Weddings must be booked at least 4 hours prior to the ceremony. That is not having to provide very much time at all.
All right.
They will not provide the marriage license. So you got to get that squared away. In Vegas, you can get that pretty much any corner. You must provide at least one guest as a witness. You can have up to 25 guests. Any food outside of the Taco Bell 12-pack that is included, and Cinnabon Delights cake that is included as the, you know,
so
the
Cinnabon's providing
dessert.
That. Okay.
And alcohol will need to be purchased separately. It says, please arrive ready to go. You have 30 minutes to access the chapel for your ceremony. And
do you get
they're non-refundable.
Do you get
a Taco Bell shirt.
Do you get some food? Some taco crunchy shells?
Yeah, you get a Taco Bell shirt and a bow tie. So it comes with custom wedding merchandise that includes a sauce packet garter.
Oh, jeez.
A bow tie that says just married, champagne flutes, and then, yeah, the cake, the tacos, the party pack, and you'll receive a wedding album to, you know, to commemorate the event. Do you think Taco Bell's going to have a lot of, for the Taco Bell wedding ceremony?
Yes, they will have a lot of them. You and I remember we were in Vegas for the Super Bowl over a year ago now. And I don't know if you remember this, Cody. We were walking on the Strip, Las Vegas Boulevard. In front of New York, New York, there was a Cheetos pop-up chapel.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, there was.
It was a Cheetos pop-up chapel. And that thing was so, like, they said we were booked. They said they were booked for the day. We walked by. We were like, is anybody getting married? And people were in there getting married. And they're like, yeah, we've been booked all day. So, yes, I think the Taco Bell one will be... will be good. Yeah. And then people will go with the gimmick. That is that. Plus, if you don't have to get your marriage license, you're telling me someone's not just saying, screw it. Let's just have some fun and actually get the marriage license.
Yeah. We'll get the marriage license. Sure. And then we just have like a fake
funny thing. You take a photo.
We pay $777. Yeah. We'll eat tacos and drink and have fun.
Mm-hmm. I could see somebody doing that.
Get a book. I wouldn't rule that out if it's like, we're not technically getting married, but it does seem like they'll supply the officiant. So they'll talk you through. Like, if you do that, do you customize your vows to include, like, you're the chalupa of my world? Like, do you?
For sure.
You gotta lean into the bit. You're just shaking his head.
No. Okay. Think about how this conversation goes. All this planning, all of it that goes into it, and you go to your fiance, your soon to be wife, and think,
let's get a Taco Bell wedding.
You know, I'm thinking about getting a Taco Bell wedding.
Hey, less than $1,000, too? That's pretty sweet.
What's the
unless you met
at a Taco Bell
and somehow like you were in a drive-thru and almost got ran over and he dove and saved you and the crunchy tacos and there's some amazing backstory. I don't get it.
What is like a Disney film now?
Yeah, basically. It's actually a Taco Bell short they're gonna start producing.
What about like a renewal of vows? You know? Is that a better spot for that kind of thing?
That's still
we don't want to do a full blown wedding, just you and I go to Vegas married? Maybe in August.
You guys are both married. You tell me, what do you think your wives would say?
Hell no.
I don't know how she'd respond. Let's say I pitched this.
You and I, pack garter. Let's
say you and I go to Vegas again in August, like we did last year.
Yeah, hopefully.
And my wife comes along on the trip. And I say, hey, let's renew our vows. And the listeners have kindly agreed to pay the $777 for you and I to renew our vows at the Taco Bell chapel. I think she'd say, yeah.
If you're renewing your vows, I think it actually...
What about your wife?
If you're renewing your vows, Cody, I think it is a much more likely chance.
You think you can convince your wife, Drew?
I don't think so.
Even if it was paid for?
Dude, if it was paid for, come on.
If it was paid for, I think there's some convincing.
If it's paid for, I think you kind of have to do it. If you and your wife had to get married, Drew, this is the follow-up to the random question. If you and your, and I'll ask you, Drew, like, our goal, it's a little tough for you because it's only one-sided at the moment.
Yeah.
If there was a fast food chain in which you had to get married at, all right, you got to renew your vows.
Have to.
Got to be at a fast food chain that you two most closely relate to, Drew. Which fast food chain are you getting married in?
So my wife loves Popeyes. Be Popeyes.
Okay, Popeyes. They're going to be in the lobby of a Popeyes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to guess, God, what one does my wife like the most? Like, of the fast food places...
There's only two that are coming
to mind
right now.
Because kids like Happy Meals. That's probably the one we hit the most, I would say, regularly.
The reason I was going to say McDonald's is because you know what you're getting 100% out of that. Chick-fil-A was the other one. Chick-fil-A was the other one, man. You just have the chicken, you know, you have the nuggets on a tray and you know, Chick-fil-A already does the football shaped trays, so maybe they'll have some wedding, you know, somehow wedding ring shaped tray or something. We'll go with that.
I'm gonna guess that McDonald's would be on the list. Like, if it can't be just like a regular restaurant, it's probably on the list. I don't think that there's one that we visit more often.
Tacos are easy though.
But tacos, I love tacos. Yeah. So Taco Bell might actually be the choice. All right, this is it, I guess. I'll ask my wife if she wants to get married at the Taco Bell. She wants to renew our vows in August.
You guys can join us in Vegas in August.
We'll need 25 people. You know? Says we got to provide a
Mick wedding.
You know. I just like it would be wild. Like,
yeah, Chick-fil-A.
Jeez.
Yep.
I was just saying, like, I was trying to, someone says, why does everybody pay for Cody's stuff? I don't know. Sometimes you guys, what else have you paid for me?
Someone says Arby's. Oh my goodness.
No,
Lance.
No. That text is
speaking
kind of wild.
Arby's is crazy. And also the rest of it. It's not great. Thanks, Lance.
He says he's got the meats. Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of, I will say, so maybe, what was it, Monday? What was it, last week? I told you my kid Ruby was like dead set on doing the major saver card. And so I put it to social media as an effort to be like, I got to get this thing out of the way. It's too much work. I bribed my son. I'll be like, I'll just take you to Worlds of Fun, Oceans of Fun. I'll sell the major saver cards for Ruby. Happy to report Ruby's got enough people who have purchased a card that she will going on a limo ride. Horrible news is that now that she is going on it, Desmond wants to do it. I'm like, and now I'm behind. And now I'm like, dude, I would have shared the people who I had getting this card for Ruby, and we could have split this thing, and I could have, because now she's over the number, right?
Yeah, you sent me the link to Ruby's. I only bought
Rubies. You don't need to buy one for Desmond, because I can't expect every... I'll have to buy two, right? Like, I'll buy one for Desmond.
Did they just ship this to me, by the way?
They will just ship it to
you. I was wondering if I have to wait for you to deliver this or what.
No. They ship it directly to you, so they're going to make it easy on you not to do that.
Okay.
I'm about 4 days away from asking the... I'm going to need, like, 10 heroes to send Desmond on this limo ride, because ain't no way. I can't go door to door. I don't have the energy. I didn't ask the people on air to sell Rubies. I asked the people of social media. I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to need like 10 of you probably at some point to buy the major saver card. It's a discount card for, I don't know, restaurants and stuff.
It had a few things. There was one or two places on there.
There was like three or four, I think, on the Northland one that I really liked. I was like, okay, cool. No big deal. But I sent all my family to the one kid who was expressing interest. So now what? So, I can't go back for round two.
Now you have to find new people.
So if somebody needs...
Someone says, don't you have like 1,000 siblings, Cody?
So here's the split. For the siblings who don't have kids of that age, who are kids have aged out, I hit up. Mm-hmm. For anybody who has kids of an age that are also stuck doing it, I feel like I can't go to them. Some of us have similar age children. Doesn't work that way. So just screwed, I guess. I'm going to need 10 heroes on this one.
Are you sure that it's...
10 heroes. I'll just send you a link if you want one. Let me know.
Desmond gets to bring friends, correct?
I don't know how this
multiple
works.
Multiple people. Three people on the text line want the link, Cody.
All
there
right.
you go.
I just need 10 heroes, and then I can be done with this thing.
People are asking if Desmond's bringing his girlfriend along for the ride.
Oh, that's a great... You know what? Should we sell 15 for her, too? They're already getting in enough trouble, man. I can't have that.
Can you imagine if
every day I gotta wonder if the teacher's gonna tell me there's another?
Good luck explaining that to her parents. Hey, so Desmond has a limo ride, and we also sold some more so that she can.
How long does it take for me to get my card, Cody? How long does this thing take?
They say like I think it was like 3 to 5 business days.
Oh, so I might get it this week.
Bad. Yeah, they didn't seem like it was bad. Someone asked how much the cards are. They're only like $15. Really
depends. There's two. When I went on there, it was 15 for certain cities. It was 20 for the premier card. I don't know. There's like two different cards. Some are 20, some are 15.
So you're now taking Desmond to both Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun and the limo ride, correct?
Oceans of Fun's off.
Someone wants to know, Cody, and how many heroes you need to pay your mortgage this month?
I already paid that. We're good there.
For next month.
I don't need you to pay the mortgage. I'm okay there. I just didn't want to buy $300 of the major saver cards.
Oh, man.
And then what? I just start handing them out in Easter baskets or something?
Basically.
You can't even use 15 of them. We're going to already have two because I got to buy one from each kid.
Right.
You know? And I didn't even bother you. I didn't be like, hey, Gold, look, I'm going to need you to get a set.
No, I texted you Saturday for the link.
You did.
And I did go online and buy one, but that's funny.
Oh, so silly. I couldn't believe when he changed his mind. I was like, dude, he's like, well, but it sounds fun now. And I was like, oh, come on, man. I need you to help me out. We could have started this from the beginning. We could have been okay. I just think, you know, I didn't think it's an impossible allure for
Is there anything above the limo ride?
Yeah, several things.
Oh, what? Like what?
Well, there's like, I don't need my kids to even, buried their dreams.
Sure.
Well,
what's
one
the
is the
prize?
Season pass to Worlds of Fun Ocean.
Okay, that's
Fun,
even
right?
bigger. Okay.
That's 50, not 15. Geez.
Okay.
Right? Which is nuts,
What's
right?
the best prize then?
I think that's the top prize.
Okay.
I believe that's
like,
the top
how
prize.
How hard do we just keep going? This starts getting to ridiculous.
No.
Disney World, you sell 5,000 of these. You get Disney World.
No, I think the genuine top prize is the Oceans of Fun, Worlds of Fun. And then like the one in between, it's like a cell phone charger that lights up. I'm like, my kid's in kindergarten. He doesn't have a cell phone.
Yeah. That's funny. All right. That's the
I don't know if people are giving
random
their
question
cell phone,
of the day. People suggesting you bribe your students in your class as well.
Am I allowed to do that?
I don't think so.
Probably not the best idea.
Probably not allowed to bribe my students. There's probably some rules against that.
I would say so. I could see that potentially could get you into a little bit of a problem. Don't forget, though, by the way, here at 96.5 The Fan, go to 96.5thefan.com for the Fiery Hot Sevens contest, where you can win a $30 instant scratch ticket, and one person's going to win the grand prize. That's a Bobby Wood Jr. autographed jersey. It's framed up. How awesome is that? All thanks to our friends at the Kansas Lottery. Up next, we're talking some Chiefs football with our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, Nate Taylor. We'll ask him if the Chiefs are done at this point in time, and has he heard anything about a couple of the other unrestricted free agents? That's next.